Good morning. Let's pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We gather as one body to hear your word, Lord. We gather to come to worship, Father, and we gather to have an encounter with you. Lord, I pray that you speak to us today. Give us open hearts to receive what you're saying, to hear what it is you want us to hear. We thank you, praise you, pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll read from verses 12 to 22. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 to 22. For our proud confidence is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and godly sincerity, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we have conducted ourselves in the world, and especially toward you. For we write nothing else to you than what you read and understand, and I hope you will understand until the end. Just as you also partially did understand us, that we are your reason to be proud as you are ours in the day of our Lord Jesus. In this confidence, I intended at first to come to you so that you might twice receive a blessing, that is, to pass your way into Macedonia and again from Macedonia to come to you, and by you to be helped on my journey to Judea. Therefore, I was not vacillating when I intended to do this, was I? Or what I purpose, do I purpose according to the flesh, so that with me there will be yes, yes, and no, no at the same time? But as God is faithful, our word to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who is preached among you by us, by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God, in him they are yes. Therefore also through him is our amen, to the glory of God through us. Now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us the Spirit in our hearts as a pledge. Amen. Okay, so I'll be going through 2 Corinthians, and last week I talked about comfort and suffering. I didn't really give too much background on 2 Corinthians, circumstances writing 2 Corinthians, other than that this is actually the third letter that Paul wrote to them. But here in this passage, you actually see a little bit more of the issues that Paul was facing. Because remember, all the epistles aren't just random letters that people wrote. All the epistles actually address a specific problem that was facing in the Christian community, whether it's a specific community, which is the characteristic of a lot of letters of Paul, or general Christian communities or general problems that arose within the general Christian community, like James or Peter or Jude, because you don't really know who they're addressing. Anyways, the main feature of the epistle is that it addresses a specific problem that arose. And so Paul faces a problem within the Corinthian church. And for him, one of the issues that he faced that you see in this passage was that people were accusing him of being wishy-washy, because he said to the Corinthians, I was intending to come to you twice. So I intended to visit two times, on the way when I went to Macedonia, on the way when I came back to Macedonia. And so people are saying, well, you didn't come twice. You promised us that you would come twice, but you only came one time. And later in 2 Corinthians, you find out why he only comes one time. But because of the fact that he broke his promise to come, and Paul will later justify himself, we don't find out first why, but people were saying, because you broke your promise to us, we can no longer trust your word. You are insincere. You give us yes, yes, and no, no at the same time. And you think about this, this is exactly what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Do not take an oath, because your word should be good enough. And people are saying, your word isn't good enough, Paul. And you actually find out, you see more of how their distrust of Paul comes through in chapter 3, verse 1, where Paul asks, do you need letters of recommendation from me? Do I need to show you credentials to prove my worthiness as an apostle? So this is kind of the main issue, on the surface at least, that Paul is dealing with in this particular part of the passage. It's not as simple as people weren't trusting Paul. They were saying that because we can't trust in you, because your word is, we don't know what you're saying. Are you saying yes? Are you saying no? We can't actually trust the message that you're preaching to us. And that's why he brings in the message, the word that he was preaching. Our word that we preach to you is not yes and no, but it is yes. Jesus is yes. So Paul's response to his accusers was that, you see in verse 12, our proud confidence is this. He says, I do not accept your accusation. But it's not a adversarial kind of response. But he's saying, you can just look at my life. You can look at how I've conducted myself. You and I am proud, and I am basically threw down gauntlet. He said, just take a look. The proof is in the pudding. Look at my life. There is nothing you can accuse me of. And he uses this word, godly sincerity, in verse 12. This word sincerity in Greek is elekrineia. This means pure or unsullied. He's saying my behavior is pure and unsullied. And this word, elekrineia, has this image, or it describes something which can bear the test of being held up to the light of the sun. Like if you take a bottle of water and hold it up to the sun, I'm like, oh, it's clean, it's pure. I mean, for us, we can't tell if there's like dangerous bacteria in the water, but at least we can tell there's no dirt and it's pure water. And this was the connotation of the word elekrineia, sincerity. You can look at me, you can look at my life, and I am not hiding anything. I'm just full of pure intentions. I am not intending to deceive you. I'm not intending to give you a message that tickles your ears. See, Paul later writes in 2 Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. So there's actually a lot of teachers like this in this time, where you have traveling preachers that would go and, you know, preach different philosophies or different messages, trying to get followers in order to gain a living for themselves. So part of the accuser's fear was that Paul was like one of these preachers, that he was just giving a message that he didn't really believe in, but it sounded good in order to gain money. And Paul's saying, no, you look at my life. I am pure. Elekrineia, I will hold up to the light. What I tell you is the truth, and you can trust me. You can believe me. And because of that, and you see Paul's confidence come through here, because of this message that he so believed in, he knew that his behavior was above reproach. There was nothing that people could accuse him of. You really see his supreme confidence. He says proud confidence. Throughout 2 Corinthians, Paul has to defend his ministry. And this confidence keeps coming through and through again. And the reason for this confidence is fairly simple. From verses 18 to 22, that his message that he was preaching, as he says, is not yes and no, but is yes. You can take this to mean that with the gospel, because he goes, our word that is preaching, the gospel for him is not unchanging. There is no uncertainty. He knows that the gospel is true. The gospel is truth. And this is something that not only he has experienced. I mean, you can read through Acts about how he has been delivered by God so many times, and the power of God has saved him, and the power he's been used by God to save other people. But for him, this is the second letter that he's writing, actually the third letter that he's writing to the Corinthians. So he's been in their midst. And in 1 Corinthians, he wrote about how the Corinthians themselves have experienced the power of God in their community. And Paul writes in chapter 2 in 1 Corinthians, I did not come with persuasive words and worldly wisdom, but I came in the power and in the Spirit of God. So you saw, the Corinthians tangibly saw the power of God as truth. This is true. And Paul's saying that, look, there's nothing I'm not selling you any false message. This is my confidence. You guys have seen it. You guys know this is the truth. There is no going back and forth. Jesus Christ is not yes and no at the same time. His message is unchanging. See, because of the fact that his message was yes and no, that this is Paul's base. He has so much confidence in it. And you can almost sense in his writing, he's saying that, you know, why would I endure so much pain, so much suffering, that he actually talks about in the passage I read last week in verse 9. Why would I endure even going to the brink of death if I did not fully believe in this gospel? Why am I selling out my life? He doesn't say that, but you can sense that coming through in his writing. His faith in God's unchanging nature and his faithfulness is so strong. It's kind of like the prayer that PSAM gave us on Sunday, where the part of the prayer goes, you know, I am standing on the rock. I may be shaking. I think Paul at times was shaking, but he knew that the rock under him wasn't shaking. And the rock under him would not shake and he would be delivered. See, his faith in God's unchanging nature was so strong that he knew that God would deliver him. Even if he was slandered, even if, you know, he had this mindset where he knew if he was slandered, it wouldn't matter because God would bring retribution or he would justify him or he would make him whole, however it would seem. That's why he has a confidence. Essentially, I think what Paul is trying to tell the second or the Corinthian church here is that I am above reproach because I know the message that I'm preaching is above reproach. There is no falsehood in what he is saying, and he so believes in that. Just as an aside, I mean, as I was reading through this, you look at the situation through the lens of the Corinthian church. For them, their faith was shaken because they had issues with Paul. And I would suggest that a lot of times that when our faith is shaken and we take offense because this person is shaking my faith or this person is shaking my faith, I can't trust this person. I can't trust what they say. In reality, it's not this person. You're just really not trusting God, or you have anger or some kind of frustration towards God as opposed to this person that is, you know, teaching you wrong. Because you see this person as a representative of God, but you have these feelings and frustrations that if this person is telling me something false or is doing this to me, maybe it is God that's doing this to me because they're the representative. So oftentimes we get mad at people. It's not this person you're mad at. Yes, you are mad at this person, but deep down inside, I feel like your frustration or your anger is directed more towards God. But being good people and good Christians, we're taught not to be angry towards God. So we say, no, it's not God that I'm angry at. It's this person, right? And I would recommend to you to take a look at your own feelings and emotions and maybe acknowledge the fact that, yeah, you are frustrated towards God. And once you acknowledge that, and you're like, oh, yeah, that is the issue. And then you can start healing and start working towards wholeness as opposed to just medicating a symptom or fixing a symptom. Like if my nose keeps bleeding and I just keep doing, you know, head forward, let the blood drain, you know, doing that, but my nose bleeds again and I just keep doing the same thing, but I don't go see the doctor, you know, or people would tell me, go see the doctor. There's something wrong with you. I'm like, no, it's okay. I just have to pinch the soft part of my nose and apply cold compress and yada, yada, yada. Anyways, acknowledge your frustration towards God is what I'm trying to tell you. Going back to this, at the heart of this passage, I talked about this last week briefly and the week before about how we've been blessed by God in order to bless others, that we're supposed to draw the attention and worship to God. See, it's very easy for Paul to say, all right, you guys want to know whether I'm the real deal or not? Let me show you. Let me prove to you that I am superior, that I am worthy, that I do not deserve all of this. But instead, what does he do? he draws the attention to God. Yeah, he makes mention of, this is my confidence, my behavior is above reproach, but it is because of the grace of God. In verse 12, he talks about it. And in verse 21, instead of turning the attention back to him, he goes, now he who establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God, who also sealed us and gave us a spirit in our hearts as a pledge. He lifts up God. This is the reason why we can do all of this. This is the reason why I have supreme hope. It's not because of my own strength, right? Not in my own fleshly wisdom, but it is because of God. He is the one. God is faithful to fulfill all promises. For the Son of God was not yes and no, but is yes in him. For as many as are the promises of God in him, they are yes. God is the one that fulfills all the promises. And another thing that Paul is doing here, he's telling the Corinthian church, look, you guys think that I broke my promise to you, and so therefore you can't trust God because you think he's going to break his promise to you because I represent God. But in reality, God will fulfill all his promises. And this is why verse 22 is so important, because he says, the reason you know, or the sign that you know that God will fulfill his promise, is because of the Holy Spirit. He's given you the Holy Spirit as a pledge. And it's not like, I promise you so you can hold on to this hope. It's something that he's already given you. Like, I promise to... I should have thought of this before I said this, but I promise to give Jackie $500, right? This is an example. It's not, I'm not promising for real, right? I know you're a lawyer, so you might hold me against my words. I promise to give Jackie $500, right? And I give him a token, a chip, right? That's kind of an example. But with the Holy Spirit, I would maybe even suggest, like, he doesn't give us, or I don't give Jackie like a chip. I mean, like, come redeem your chip, like a coat check, right? I actually give him $500. That's what I feel like God is saying, or Paul is telling the Corinthians. Like, you guys know, you've experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the promise that God has given to you. He has given you the Spirit as a pledge of what he will fulfill. So even though, I mean, like, a practical application for us, even though we don't see certain circumstances or situations unfolding according to the promises that God has given us, the Holy Spirit within us is pledge already. He's telling the Corinthian church, look, you guys, I know you are looking towards the promises of God. I know you think that I have broken your promise, but I have not broken your promise. And the Holy Spirit is pledge of that. The Holy Spirit is the sign that God will fulfill his promise. The word of God does not change. It is unchanging. It is not yes and no, but yes. So as we worship this morning, I have three levels of reflection for us. Okay, so first, do you have the same confidence as Paul in God's faithfulness? Do you trust that God will fulfill his promise? Or do you trust that God's word is unchanging? Can you put your full trust in him? See, it would have been so easy for Paul to think otherwise in light of the circumstances. Everyone was attacking him. He faced death, right? As he talks about in verse 9. People are trying to discredit him, saying, your message is false. Because you're false. We can't trust you. I know that for me, sometimes I would question myself, is what I'm preaching true? If I'm not spiritually close to God, I sometimes do like, oh man, do I really believe in what I'm saying? So do you believe in God's faithfulness yourself? Okay, so that's the first level. That's kind of like, not baseline, but let's just say fifth floor. All right, let's jump to the 10th floor. Do you live your life with Elekrania? Will people look at your life and will you pass the examination of life or the examination of light, or will some untruth be found in you? Part of this is calling, it is a calling for us to live holy, a holy lifestyle, because we are a kingdom of priests and a holy nation to God. Right? That's our calling as Christians. You know, in your life, are you yes and are you no? Can people trust you? Really, really simply, can people trust you in your character? Okay, so that's the second level of reflection. Are you living your life with alacrity? Are you living in sincerity, godly sincerity? And third, are you directing the attention towards God? Are you giving glory to Him in your life? Is your life about giving glory to God? Or is your life, you know, is God's faithfulness and you living such a pure and holy life intended to give glory to you? Or is it intended to give glory to God? Are you telling people, hey, look at me, I'm so holy, I'm so blessed? Or is this all these blessings, all this holiness to show, look what God can do for me. Look how God has transformed me. And so, yeah, let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we worship and as we pray this morning.
My heart. Yes, my heart may sorrow.
Father, lift up those who just are having difficulty, I guess, trusting in your faithfulness or seeing your faithfulness and your righteousness. So, Lord, I lift up my brothers and sisters, and I just pray, God, for an extra measure of grace for them, Lord, so that they may endure, so they can endure and overcome, Lord. Father, remind them. Not just remind them, show them again, Lord, your faithfulness, how you are not yes and no, but yes. That in you there is no falsehood, in you there is no uncertainty, there is no unchanging in your word, Lord. And remind them, God, strengthen their faith, Lord, so that they may know, God, that they are not living a lie, Lord, so that they may live a life of godly sincerity, elekrineia, Lord, that they may be held up to the light and to be shown pure, God, for you make them pure. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray for our community. Let's pray for those who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. Let's pray for God's goodness over them. Let's pray for God's healing and comfort as they go through this time. Let's pray for those who are sick and also have yet to receive the word of Christ. Let's pray for the friends and family surrounding these people, that they will be able to demonstrate Christ and demonstrate His love and His salvation into their lives. Pray for those in our community suffering from other infirmities, non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for God's healing hand, that there'll be a quick recovery, and that God will sustain our friends' strength as they recover from the surgeries and sicknesses. Let's lift up those in our community looking for jobs. Pray for open doors and wisdom and discernment for Dan and Bonnie and Harris as they look for opportunities or they evaluate opportunities that come their way. Turning to our mission focus, let's pray for SP Singapore, SP Indonesia, SP Filipino, and SP New York. Let's pray for all our branches of SP and that God moves powerfully within these communities. Pray for Education Department, SP Kids, SP Youth, and the college students. Let's just pray for the spiritual growth, not just growth, but maturity of these students, of these young adults, of these kids, that they too can experience and encounter God in the same way that adults can. Let's lift up our prayer and healing ministries, the Well and the River, and intercessory prayer. Let's pray for the Well and the River, that as they pray for people, that people will be healed, that God will be glorified, and then the power of the Holy Spirit will be demonstrated. Let's also pray for intercessory prayer. Let's pray that God just sustains them in prayer, and that God shows them exactly what to pray for as they intercede for our church. Let's lift up tonight's outreaches, SP Lights and Homey Outreach. Let's pray for the women that SP Lights reaches out to and the families that Homey Outreach interacts with. Let's pray that their interactions with our members are positive and that the light of Christ is shown through those going out to these areas. Thank you. let's pray for our house churches tonight, East Bay, Olympic, Robin Hood, and Westville. Let's pray for a powerful time of discussion as they talk, and just a vulnerable time of discussion as they talk about certain strongholds that they have or difficulties they have in pulling it down. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to minister through the house churches, that there would be no fear, no shame, no anxiety of sharing our lives and opening ourselves up. So let's lift up our house churches. Father, we thank you for your word today, God, that you are unchanging, Lord. That we can be sincere because you are sincere. There is no changing with you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. We thank you, God, that you have given us the Holy Spirit as a sign, Lord, of this pledge, God. And we pray, Lord, that you teach us, God, and you show us how to live in the Spirit, Lord, for us to see evidences and the power and the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, so that our faith will not be shaken, Lord. We thank you, Father. We pray these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time.